continue to talk about worship. We've covered most of it, and I'm just going to skip over to page 16, and I'll be about halfway, three quarters up. And it's really, well, this part really is not so much applicable to us here. It goes more churches, congregational singing or worship. So we'll just touch on a few things here. And I think the most important thing is that when you worship is to understand the purpose of it. Or what is the purpose of it? There's nothing wrong, I'd say, with singing songs for enjoyment, but when you are drawing close to God, you need to know what you're doing. There's a path that will take you there, and we've gone through most of it, and I don't want to offer that as a mechanical way of doing things, because you always need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so we've been through this for years in the churches that we led. So what typically happens is the worship leader will come with a song list. Now, hopefully, he prayed before he compiled that list. Because if he didn't, then it's going to be a sing-along. That's all. And there's purpose, and there's some purpose and benefit to that too. But when you really feel that, you know, when people come to church, many of them, or at least some of them, come with needs. They need to hear from God. They need the touch of God. And so that needs to be understood, especially when you prepare to lead the congregation in worship. You need to be aware of it, that not everybody was there comes with an ideal set of circumstances. Everything is good. Everything is fine. Let's praise God. That's easy. But you're thinking of the ones that are not in that place. And they're coming with great needs. And they really need to hear from God. They need that touch from God. And so there should be a lot of prayer should be put into preparing for the service. And that's why I always say, you know, the best Sunday morning service start on Saturday evening. You cannot go partying and do stuff on Saturday evening and think everything is fine for Sunday morning. It's not. It is not. So the purpose of the worship leader is simple, and that is to lead fellowship into the presence of God. And you know, they come in with their burdens, they have things pressing down on them, they have problems, they have things that worry them. And now we need to take them, because those are it's dominant on their minds, you know. But you need to bring them to a place where they can shift it aside so that they, instead of hearing from their problem situation, hear from God. And worship will do that if it's done right. And so I believe the worship leader needs to spend some time in his preparation or her preparation for worship and just make sure that you're led by the Holy Spirit. It's not so much a mechanical thing as it is being led by the Holy Spirit. You need to know inside, yes, this is what we need to do. And just follow down that path. You know, the Holy Spirit is very creative, and it should be a fresh experience every time. And you cannot say, well, last time when we did this song list, you know, it really, we sense the presence of God. Let's do that again. This time we'll just fall flat. There'll be nothing. You know, because I believe the Holy Spirit is very creative, and he wants to give us a fresh experience every time. And of course, the worship leaders, him or herself, also needs to have their own heart prepared. because they cannot take people where they haven't been themselves. They need to prepare their own hearts. there's an interesting verse in Psalm 22, and I got a quote there, verse 22, verse 3, which says, "You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." Enthroned on the praises of Israel. So you understand from that verse that our praises bring you into the presence of God. The Amplified Bible says, "But you are holy, O you who are enthroned in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered." Very interesting, very interesting verse to meditate on, because it's really helpful to understand what the psalmist is saying here. So congregational worship prepares the hearts of those present to hear from the Lord. And it's not so much about singing our favorite songs or enjoying the music as it is a journey from the everyday grind into the presence of God. That is really the purpose of. That's why we always start our services with praise and worship, is to just prepare ourselves for it. You know, you cannot could just go in. Well, you know, when you sit there and you're burdened, you have problems, and you have things that trouble you, even while the pastor is bringing a wonderful sermon, you might not hear most of it because you're thinking of all your issues. You know? And so there's purpose in all of it. That's why we start the services this way. Of course, it also unites our hearts. You know, we just take away all the stuff out of our hearts and minds, and we unite to do one thing together, and that is to worship. And that unity is very important, to have that kind of unity in a spiritual way when we approach God, when we're close to Him. I always told our church, I'm glad I don't stand in front while we worship, because I tell you, when you look at some of those faces, they're not with you. They're not part of it. There's no unity. Some of them are standing there like concrete pillars, you know. They're not in on it. They're not there, you know. And to me, that's kind of a major distraction. So I'm glad I'm standing on the front row and I don't face them, so I have to see that. Because, you know, you're not going to reach those people. Some of them are there, they didn't really want to be there, or they're there for some other reasons, but they're not there because they have a need in their hearts. They just are there because they were forced to be there, or because it's tradition to go to church, whatever the reason might be. But they're not there really to have a meeting with God. And not to mention the ones that misbehave, you know. They have no respect for what's happening there. They talk, they fidget, they're busy with stuff, you know. They're not part of the worship there at all. I walked out a service once in my life. Once. And my wife was a little upset with me, but I couldn't stand it anymore. You know, I just could not stand, because we sat a few rows from the back. And the people there were talking so loud, catching up and discussing stuff. And the pastor was in front, trying his best over the microphone to get through to people. And I just said, you know, we're wasting our time, I'm leaving. And I left. I walked out, and then she followed me. You know, but there was no purpose in just continuing on for what? Just sitting there and actually give legitimacy to what's happening there. It's very, very sad.
What would you have done if you were the pastor?
It never happened in our church. Okay. It never happened. We taught our people that this is time for reverence, and we create a reverential atmosphere in the church. And so people come ready, at least if they're not participating, they'll be quiet. No kids were running around and creating havoc. That did not happen in our church.
Our pastor used to get on to it, so it happens.
Yeah, you only need to do it once or twice.
We once had a visiting preacher from the UK ministering at our church in Ontario. It was an old black gentleman, but he spoke that proper English. And one of the youth, halfway through the service, you know, a sermon, they always need to go to the toilet. I still can't figure out why. Can't you just keep it up for an hour? You know? But he got up and he walked out to go to the toilet, and his name was McCarty. He said, "Are you leaving us, young man?" I thought that was so good. I don't think he will ever get up in another sermon to go out to the toilet ever again.
Because all the attention
was on him, you know, and I thought, kudos for that old man, you know.
Yeah, people don't understand that, you know, you're disturbing the one next to you or in front of you.
Yes, yes.
And they might have needs, and you might not have any, but they might have. Mm-hmm. And you're robbing them of what they came for. And instead of getting something or being blessed, they're getting frustrated and angry, you know. And so, yeah, it's
the same thing when you go to a movie or you go to a play or something like that. I mean, nobody would do that.
It's very disrespectful, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, if it's really an urgency, sure. But I mean, for young people, just to get up and they're bored, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, at least in church, there's, you know, I things changed in the time that I've been around.
Yeah.
Because when I grew up, none of that, there was no chance of that happening.
No.
Nothing at all. Mm-hmm. See, when you walk through those doors, you step into an atmosphere that was charged with reverence and awe for God.
Yes. And the cell phones have become a problem too.
Yeah. And so we would not dare. Yeah, you would not dare to move. As a kid, we sat there quiet. And because we went to Sunday school before service. So we were there at 9.
Yeah.
The service started at 10:30. So we started early. And there's no thing that you can say, well, I've been here already. And no. You're sitting here. Because this is about God now.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are little things that can ruin a service that has really great potential to help a lot of people.
How you can save a soul? What are you talking about? Save the life of somebody. The noise distracts, you know?
Yeah. It's because they don't come... They don't really have an understanding of what it is all about, really. You know, they just come. It's just a routine.
Just another event during the week.
Yeah. And to worship in truth, as Jesus told us to do, worship in spirit and in truth, is to engage the whole being, body, soul, and spirit, in sacrificial adoration of Him. When we fail to do so, we might never know what we have robbed ourselves of. A single word from the Lord that dropped into your heart while in His presence can change your entire life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's all you need. But your heart needs to be open and ready to receive from Him. Those who do not participate heartily in worship or are more interested in something to eat, oh boy, is that frustrating. Or drink, or fidget, or have conversations with others, and make unity in the spirit impossible. It affects the people around them. It also makes it hard for those close by to focus on the Lord, especially for people that have an urgent need for His touch. So when we worship, everyone as an audience of only one. And I think that's you come with that attitude. It's not about those around me. It's nice to worship with other people, obviously, and I believe the Lord wants that. And that unity is fantastic. But our focus is on Him. Worship bands that play for the applause of a congregation totally miss the point. And that is a big thing these days. You know, I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush, obviously, but things have gone wrong the last few years. Where it in a lot of churches, it's become a talent show more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, very, very sad. The level of our worship reveals the level of revelation of God in a church. So if there's no revelation of God, who He is, what God can do, then it'll just be a flat-lined type of worship, you know, just sing along, and nothing much will happen. Worship prepares us to hear from the Lord, and for this reason, it's best that nothing happens between worship and the ministry of the Word. Now, sometimes churches have this thing that after the worship, people sit down and then begin with the announcements of all the activities and stuff like that. And then you break that momentum that you've built with business that could wait till the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not part of what we're busy with here. You know, so just leave it for the end. I know sometimes people are scared that the moment the pastor says amen, some people get up and leave, and then they miss the announcements. So that's why they squeeze it in there. But that's not right. That is not right, and that shouldn't happen. So, you know, Gura mentioned that the last church we attended in South Africa before we left, the moment worship started, they locked the doors. You couldn't come in or go out. You got to wait till it's all done. Nobody's coming in and nobody's leaving.
That's good.
I know.
Yeah. They were locked in. And we were taught that this is time for God. You cannot come while people are worshiping, squeeze in to find a seat, or, you know, pass by everybody and step on their toes and stuff like that. No, we're busy with God now. And if you're late, you're late. You're going to miss it. You miss it. These are little things that make the experience worthwhile and meaningful. It gives a lot of meaning.
It also brings a reverence,
yeah.
To the audience. You know, if they know, you know, if they're a little late for church, we're still busy, you know, Thanksgiving, enter His gates with Thanksgiving in our hearts. You know, and then people find their seats and they're still, but when you move over to the worship part, then it's getting serious, you know, and then that just close it off.
Yeah.
And that's good. I like that.
We did some at times receive offering at that time because it's part of our worship. There are scriptures over there in it's all through the Bible, not just one place, but I'm thinking of the one in Proverbs that says, you honor God with the first fruits of your income.
Yeah.
That's worship. You honor Him. And so there's room for that.
I always liked the black churches.
Yeah.
He often ministered in black churches. And when they're still busy with their praise and worship, then it's time for the offering, and they dance their offering to the front.
They put it in,
yeah,
whatever
in baskets in the front, but they
dance
it.
Around it.
It is just amazing.
Yeah, it just brings
amazing.
A total different
yeah.
attitude into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to the next page, page 17, Psalm 96, verse 8 and 9. A gift to the Lord, the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. So there you see that the offering is part of the worship. 1 Chronicles 16. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of his name. Here's a beautiful little incident in Matthew chapter 26 and from verse 6. Let's read that passage quickly. So, and when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For the fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. So this is a very beautiful example of worship. How she honored him with this very costly oil and very fragrant oil. The other passages we read it filled the whole house. Which to me, you know, I tend to look at it with spiritual eyes, and it's just a beautiful fragrance that her worship brought into the house. It's her worship, her way of worship, and of course, it's very costly. So a lot of elements come together here in this woman's worship, and there are some people complained about it, but Jesus appreciated it. What I like to think about is that when she left, she had the same fragrance that Jesus had on him and everybody else. So there is something that happens in the spiritual when we really come with true worship to honor God. There is something there. There's a sweetness to it. There's a peace about it that stays with you. Even if you leave, it stays with you. And that is one of the benefits we have when we come and we worship, as Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. Worship leaders will do well by making a clear distinction between songs that are good to listen to or songs that work well for congregational participation. Now, many of the songs we listen to are wonderful, but you cannot bring it into congregation to people who cannot sing, you know. They can't keep a note. And it's the whole musical arrangement is quite complicated. And it's not for ordinary people like me and others, you know. You just don't do it because then you can't participate. It's above our level. We don't have that skill. So it's just a little note there, something to think about. The other thing is, of course, the lyrics. So I mentioned that a few times. The lyrics are very important. It must align with Scripture. Because you're going to bring something else in there. It's just not worship. It's something else, but it's not worship. It must align with Scripture. Intentional worship leaders follow the example set by David and begin a service with some expression of gratitude to God, then move on to praise, followed by songs of worship. Not all thanksgiving, praise, or worship are necessarily expressed in music or song. Sometimes you say something, or there's a prayer of thanksgiving or praise. It doesn't always have to be music to it. Or read a passage of Scripture. You know, this morning, when I read my Bible, I'm in 1 Timothy, this chapter this morning. And Paul is talking to Timothy. He's giving him some instructions about the church of Ephesus where Timothy served and so on. And then suddenly he stopped and he says there in verse 17, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I mean, he's just fitting in some worship right there in the middle of his letter to Timothy. That's worship. His heart just overflowed with worship and wrote it down. Beautiful. Beautiful. So that's what I'm trying to say, you know, we must be careful not to be too mechanical but be led by the Holy Spirit. Just let him run the whole thing. You know, he'll know on the inside what he wants to do and where he's taking us. So here is a few verses, I guess, a quote from a Hillsong song. I just thought that they just captured this whole protocol that I call very well in the song. It's very old, not very old, but it's an old song, and probably
those were in the days they were still good.
Things have changed a lot.
From
that group.
It says, as I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the glory of your face. And I can only bow down and say, you're awesome in this place, mighty God. So there you go. I feel they just captured the whole thing very well in the song. The bottom there of the page, let's see that. Romans 11. That's another one of Paul's worship breaks. He's writing this letter to the Romans. And what a heavy letter that is. It is back to a doctrine. And then just suddenly he has a praise break. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him and shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. It's also something that teaches us about worship, you know, and how to do it, and just learn from Paul. I already quoted this one, 1 Timothy 1:17. So we find inspiration in Scripture, a lot in the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, this Psalm, excellent. Examples of worship, and we learn from these people. How to worship, how to praise God, how to bring thanksgiving to Him, and so on. Let's go to Psalm 133. A song of ascent. Now, a song of ascent is when they walked up to the house of God and they do so with singing and praises and worship and so on. And behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There you go. When there's peace and there's unity, we all do the same thing at the same time. There's something there. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Now, you know that that oil, that anointing oil, is a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when you read anointing, that's what it is. So Aaron was anointed to be priest. And so they anointed him, but they didn't, he's not talking about a drop of oil on his head. They baptized the guy. It was flowing down, down his beard, his clothes, everything. This is a major anointing that took place there. And it says, when we do things in unity, that is what it's like overflowing anointing. And that anointing oil, God gave Moses the recipe for it, and it was not to be copied. If you copy that oil, you're dead. It's very fragrant. So there's a fragrance, an aroma. Wherever that priest goes, he takes that fragrance with him. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When that anointing is upon us, you take that fragrance, that presence with you. Where you go, you take it with you. And that's the whole point. Now, when we, you've come out of the service where you really had an experience of the presence of God, and you go home, that presence goes with you. Verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Isn't that something? God commands his blessing there. That unity. No wonder the devil comes in to disturb that unity. He knows. He knows how we can rob us of that blessing. He knows. And so I think it's good to talk about this in a church setting or in a worship setting, that listen, we want to, this is what we want. Let's sing the song. We're gonna unite in worship now, because we want that blessing to be commanded upon us. We need that blessing. We need that anointing. We need it. And so let's unite and be one in worship. There's that psalm there at the end, Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Beautiful worship song. And an invitation to come and worship. I think to start off as, let's say, a Sunday morning service, by reading this psalm, can already put you in the right direction. Yeah. Let's do this together. So there is so much that we can accomplish and receive when we go to church with the right attitude. We come to worship in unity. We come to pay our, to bring our reverence to God, our honor to God. And it's all about him. It's all about him. And when it's all about him, that's when God reaches out to us and touches our lives and in the areas where we need him to help us. It's just a place where your heart opens to receive from God and brings you in the right attitude to receive from him. So worship is not just the formality of the service, something that we do as a routine or a tradition. There's purpose. When there's purpose in it, you can accomplish these things. And you come with that heart that is turned towards God. Is ready to receive from me.
As I come into your presence, past the gates of into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance and see the fullness of your grace. And I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, my King. Mighty God.